It's Sound Ideas. I'm Mike McCurdy. A race across Russia earlier this month ended early for a Bloomington Normal endurance athlete. Thursday, Gervais trained for months, worked closely with a personal coach, sought and received key sponsorships, and biked more than 500 miles a week. In the end, however, the deck may have been stacked against women riders, and she thinks she was misled about the road and traffic conditions. It's no secret the Red Bull Trans-Siberian Extreme is the longest and most difficult bike race in the world, 5,700 miles over 24 days from Moscow to Vladivostok. In this interview, which was delayed because Gervais was still processing the race and the end result, she says pulling out early was emotional.
I was disappointed that I didn't finish the race. I was disappointed and frustrated with things that had happened in the race. And before I talked about it, I just kind of wanted to make everything factual and not have emotions cross into my facts. It's usually not a good thing to do. And out of respect for the other riders that were still on the road, I just didn't want to throw any negative spin while they were still racing.
There seemed to be a number of circumstances that led you to saying enough is enough. Can you talk about the reasons you pulled out, and maybe start with the most important reason why you dropped out of this race?
The most important reason was the roads. In our prior interview, I remember you had asked me, you know, what about the road conditions? Well, I was led to believe that, what we saw in the videos, that was just minor. The whole roads weren't that way. In fact, they were horrendously worse. And it just got on my nerves after having head-on traffic come straight at me three different times. It was dangerous.
Yeah, in fact, we talked about whether those road bikes would be durable enough and the tire size would be durable enough for what looked like gravel roads in some cases.
It was beyond gravel roads. If you kind of know what the rocks in a train track look like, those kind of big, sharp, chunky kind of rocks, those are the rocks we were actually going on. So, yeah, there was concerns for me with my tires as well.
So road conditions. And did you have any mechanical breakdowns then?
Because I did not.
Okay.
Yeah. No, thank God I didn't. I think there was actually, through the whole race, as far as I know, I think there were only one or two mechanical breakdowns.
So not only road conditions, but also traffic.
Yeah.
What was the traffic like?
Horrendous. You know, we were following the Trans-Siberian Railway, but on top of that, we were also following where they were laying new pipeline in. So there was construction the whole entire way. Some of it was, you know, nice new pavement, but yet it was down to one lane. And then the shoulders were all broken up. So you had angry drivers driving up the left and the right side of the shoulder when it's technically one lane and we're waiting in traffic, which is not good.
Did you have any close calls?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did. Again, like with the three head on. Now, reminded, the roads are not reversed out there. So when I say head on the right hand shoulder, I mean, imagine.
So they're driving on the wrong side of the road on the shoulder at you.
Yes. Yep. And then we had multiple times where drivers would pass my support van, and not see that I was right there in front of the support van. And just nearly knocking us off the road.
Cutting in too quickly to get back in before oncoming traffic comes at them.
Exactly. You know, I had people slow down, swear, yell at me.
Well, at least it was in Russian. You couldn't understand.
Yeah, some hand gestures are universal.
All right. So how much of this was a surprise? Because I've seen the videos, right? You see these Red Bull videos and you see the traffic and the semis. Was it just worse than you thought it was going to be? Did you think those were the exceptions in the videos?
I thought they were the exceptions. In fact, that's what I was told. I was told, you know, Red Bull just makes it seem very extreme, so they pick the worst parts of the roads out for their videos. All that way.
So you told the New York Times that this was a mental game and maybe 90% mental. How many stages did you complete? And can you talk about the physical fortitude as well as the mental fortitude you needed to get as far as you did?
I pulled out on the third stage. It was all mental. I was experiencing a lot of issues going into this. It's when the race started, you know, I really relied on getting messages from people over social media, and my phone got hacked into. So my Facebook was shut down. My Twitter was shut down. I couldn't get any messages from support from a lot of people. That was unnerving because during the stressful times, I really would have liked to have heard those messages.
So you became isolated.
I really did, yeah.
So three stages. The first stage was approximately 400 miles. The last stage you dropped after 215 miles. Still great accomplishments. How did you feel physically after these first three stages? Do you think you could have gone on had the road conditions been different or traffic conditions been better?
I think I could have gone on. You know, I did experience some little back spasms, and we did have a chiropractor out there, a massage therapist that was able to work some of that out and my muscles in the back. I think that was mostly in part due to, you know, you ship your bike there and you have to put it all together, and if the spec is off, I think that may have had something to do with it.
And also, because you don't have the advantage of drafting other cyclists, you're sort of out there by yourself. The men were further ahead.
Yeah.
So when you were wrapping up at the end of the day, you had less time to spend with that massage therapist. You had less time to recover before the next day's stage.
Yeah, that was a problem too. Not just at the end of the day, but our food cutoffs. You know, there was a food truck that we had to make it to by a certain time. Well, if we weren't there, we weren't getting our food.
Is that why your nutrition was off and you relied more on gels and liquids during the day?
Yeah.
You didn't get the food you needed?
Essentially, I didn't eat for 3 days anything solid. Yeah.
How does that work if you're biking 400 miles a day?
It really doesn't. You know, I'm trying to consume 18,000 calories on gels, powders, three-day-old bananas and pears that we still have left in the van.
So is this a race or is it a promotional media event for Red Bull?
You know, I'm going to be honest. I felt it was an absolute media stunt. There's a couple other riders now that the race is over that kind of feel the same way.
In fact, another one who dropped out with just three stages to go, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I respect his choice. He's a fantastic rider, and I know he wouldn't have pulled out if he didn't stand behind the values he was speaking about.
So at what point did you realize that you probably were not going to finish?
Honestly, I could tell you, right as soon as I started in the first day and I saw this pack of men, as fast as they went off, I thought, there's no way. I knew this probably going into it, that it was going to be extremely difficult to finish 7 hours behind them. But when I saw the absolute wicked fast pace, and I think it surprised everybody, the organizers as well, how fast they were going, I just knew. And I had tried to discuss this quite a bit with the organizers, saying, hey, you know, you've got to do something, because neither of us women are going to finish given our time frame. And then again, coming back to the hotel, trying to eat, trying to get our massage, trying to get our electronics charged back up. I mean, we were left with no time.
Yeah. In fact, you have to, there's a deadline for you to get in order to start the next day, correct?
Correct. Yeah.
What was the deadline? What was the time frame?
7 hours. Somewhere in the middle of my ride, though, I didn't get this message that they were giving us, the women, 4 extra hours. I was never told that, though, so I was still riding under the thinking that I had 7 hours.
So what was it like to come to that realization after the months of training and thousands of miles you put in in that first stage to go, I'm not going to be able to do this. It's not going to happen.
It was disappointing. Again, like I said, I still wanted to do it, though. You know, I said I was going to do it. I owed it to my sponsors to do it as well. I owed it to everybody that was supporting me to stay in as long as I could. I tried to have fun with it, but again, given so many circumstances, it just kind of sucked the life out of it.
What could you or would you have done differently before or during this race? Or is there anything that you could have done that you think would have sort of gotten you maybe even to the next, to the fourth stage maybe?
You know, I still had two chances for DNFs where I could have continued on. And I could have taken those and still continued.
DNFs or did not finish.
Yeah, yeah. I still could have taken those to continue on. What I would do differently, there's quite a few things. Number one that's important is to have a support team that's experienced when you do these races. I don't think anyone going into these are, if you haven't done them, the stress and the things that need to get done to be fully prepared for this are above and beyond what you write on paper. You can have a book saying, I need this, 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 and this, but there's so many other circumstances that come up. I would definitely make sure I had an experienced support team.
Did you have a falling out with your team?
I did.
And do you want to talk about that?
It's difficult. Yeah, I mean, I will to a certain extent. You know, I don't want to start any personal or anything. I'd probably just leave it at she was not well prepared. This was not a vacation. This is a race. We don't stop because you have to go to the bathroom. I'm in a race. The clock's ticking.
And there was a foundation associated with your race team. What's happened with that? It was supposed to benefit kidney care.
National Kidney Foundation, yeah. And, you know, that's one of the bonuses that are great that did come out of this. We raised money for that. She's continuing on to raise money. I'm going to start, you know, I still have my See Thursday Ride Foundation. My next foundation that we're going to raise money for is the Live Strong Foundation. So, you know, I'm going to keep riding my bike and raising money to causes.
So what do you think the future holds for this race? Do you think it has a future as a race after this, after the criticism?
No. I mean, flat out no. They might for the male racers. There's so many things that they need to change rule-wise. You know, the rules about drafting had changed consistently throughout the race, not just drafting off a pack, but drafting off the vans.
They were drafting off the vans. That sounds like cheating.
Well, in any regulated race, yeah, it would be. But Red Bull Media had the choice to do whatever they wanted, and you agreed to that. So if Red Bull Media is in front of you for an hour, or the lead rider filming you, that lead rider is getting a draft.
Sure.
Technically, we're not supposed to be doing that. And for women, no, until they change the rules. I just can't see any women doing it.
Could there just be a women's only race?
You know, that was brought up. The organizers said that to run two races at the same time would be impossible. Pretty much like they say about the Tour de France, really, you know. But considering that there were only 10 people in the race, I don't see where that would be a problem. Maybe if they had opened it up to everybody in the world that wants to join the race, I could maybe see that being a problem. There's only 10 people, though.
Could you have teamed up with the other woman that was racing to try to ride together to make this a little easier for the both of you? Was that a conversation ever considered, or did you have it?
That was a conversation that was brought up, but I think both of us, with our competitive natures, just said, no, we're going to do it solo alone. I knew it was not a smart idea to try and do it alone. You know, you look at how the men race. They raced in a pack, and then they sprinted off in the end. So.
Sure. So what's next for you? Race across America?
Well, possibly. I'm going to do Ram Ohio, which is a qualifier for Race Across America. And there's talk of possibly teaming up with a couple people have asked me to do Race Across Europe, which would be nice, too. But, yeah, I still have Ram in my sights.
Congratulations on what you actually were able to accomplish.
Thank you.
Yeah, and thanks for your time on Sound Ideas. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it.
Endurance athlete and bicyclist Thursday Gervais. She says she appreciates all of the messages from well-wishers, and she apologized for not being able to respond to everyone. It's Sound Ideas on GLT.